A house is much more than a home. Welcome to the season finale of Pose After Buzzers. We are back, and Blanca proves that she is more than deserving to be Mother of the Year. The ties to all of these families are super strong. There's so much to talk about, and we can hardly wait. Plus, we've got Mother Candy Ferocity in the building, y'all. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey,
yes, some Al B. Sure.
Okay,
gotta get that good body roll. Okay,
I mean, Al B. Sure got all the shout outs tonight.
Yes, yes. He had all the panty droppers. Okay, that's what he had.
Let's just be clear about it.
We were all probably conceived to like an Al B. Sure song.
Maybe, probably.
My parents like kind of baby.
We all 80s,
so.
Baby.
I'm about to say, yeah, yes, 87. Yeah. So,
are you old?
Okay, tell your age. Speak for yourself.
Well, the gang's all here. First, we have, of course, our house, the House of Pose.
In the building. House of Pose.
I am Keith Andre.
What's up, y'all? It's Marielle Turner.
Hey, guys. It's Jamie Gray.
It's Jay Lamar, and I'm back, y'all.
Y'all know we could not do the finale with Jay Lamar.
Right.
Without Jay Lamar.
Oh, really?
We'll see how it goes. But we also have our special in-studio guest, formerly known as Candy Abundance. She is no other than the fearless leader, Miss Candy Ferocity Angelica Ross.
That's right.
Let's be clear.
Okay. Welcome, Miss Candy.
Yes.
Miss Candy. I like that.
I could not.
With your hammer at, girl.
Right.
In my purse.
Wow. Just in case.
Yes.
Just
in case.
We are so happy to have you. I mean, we will go through our overall thoughts. I'm going to tell you right now, Candy got real nasty.
Nice and nasty.
Real nice, nasty. I mean, I don't think I was expecting that, but overall, I mean, the episode, it just read so beautifully. Yes. Everything came together.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I thought it was beautiful. Kind of unexpected almost, because I was thinking, I just didn't know where it was going to go, but I thought it was wonderful. I love the shade. The shade was like on 10. It was great.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were expecting so many things, you know, like someone going to be, you know, hurt? What's going to happen? But I really, really liked how this episode turned out. Like,
yes.
It went out with a bang still.
My heart was pounding, like I told y'all while we were filming, watching it. Like, my heart was pounding. I was scared that something was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I love the way it ended. Like,
yes.
It was everything, you know, and I love the ratchet moments.
Okay. Yes.
There were
you know,
many.
That Miss Candy brought.
It's got to be a balance.
Yeah,
it
does.
Right.
And it was definitely a great balance. Me and Mario was just talking about how, you know, when you don't know exactly what can happen with the show, they gave us that closure to a season one where, worst case scenario, we could walk away fulfilled.
Right.
But the gag is...
They're coming back.
With
yes!
So I am ready. So let's just get started. I mean... So we go back into like some downtrodden moments because we're met with Electra like broken down,
Lord.
Hanging. I'll keep hanging on.
Yes.
And she is going.
Ain't that the jam though? The music on this show.
The soundtrack is amazing. I mean, you can't beat that. High quality. But she's broken down. She's still doing the quarter slots, trying to get herself.
But you know what? You know what? She needed to get humble. She needs some humble pie.
Thank you.
Because you know what? She was in that backstage room with the rest of the girls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You hear me? And I love that scene. I loved seeing it because that reminded me of so many of the backstage rooms that when I, you know, performing at the shows where we play that, we would call them back in the day female impersonation shows because we didn't have the language.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we knew that we weren't also doing drag because it wasn't that. It was a little bit something different, you know. And the girls would get naked, pasties. So backstage, it was just a slapping booty. You know, it's like, was at the Players Club. That's what it was.
Whoa, don't take me back, Diamond.
Let the money do it. The money make you.
That's so interesting.
Oh, I love you already.
Yes. I am. I'm super excited. You guys know that we will have plenty of time to get into Miss Angelica Ross and get her tea. But for now, we'll talk a little bit about Electra. We did get to see Blanca have so many moments. And like you said, I mean, that first opening sequence and scene was just, everything just flowed so nicely.
Yeah.
I agree.
I almost cried when Blanca, when the... the partition rolled up and it was blocked.
Right.
Yes.
Because you didn't expect that at all.
No. Mm-mm.
Which I was going to say, when Electra was working, I was like, this is the hardest she's probably ever worked in her entire life. This girl is struggling going through it. But I think in that scene you saw, you know, drama, tragedy in a mm-hmm. sense, but also comedy. Because I'm sorry, it was kind of laughable. It was kind of laughable.
Really? Of course. I felt touched.
I was
like,
sad, but it's like,
Electra.
It's like, look at Electra. That's what you get, okay? This is what
see,
this
she's
is,
a shady girl.
Okay?
You see.
But listen, like, that's TV. It's like you want the good and the bad, and I think that they brought that together perfectly.
I agree.
Yeah, and the best part about it, when you think of character development, we were able to see Electra transform and go through this complete experience as a character. And that's, I think, was important for us to see by the time we got to the finale.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think it was like kind of backwards, though. We kind of seen her like go from high mm-hmm. to low. Mm-hmm. Which I appreciated, because, you know, she came in that boy like a bougie. She was a bougie girl.
Okay. Yes.
And like, to humble her.
Sometimes you gotta lose. Sometimes yeah. you gotta lose to win again.
You are Sunday. Come on now.
And still sticking with Electra a little bit, because I do want to note, by the time we got to see Blanca face it, there was like this extreme level of vulnerability that you have to face, or like shame or embarrassment. Mm-hmm. And Blanca was willing to fight through that, and even to the writer's credits, where even the language that they use, like Blanca's like, no, you're depressed, girl, we got to get you out of this rut, that's important. And she was able to really help her transform herself.
And I think it's so important that you said that, girl, like, just like she said, you're depressed. So many people don't want to admit that they might be in some sort of a state of depression. Mm-hmm. Like, we hear a lot of times, like, even with Michelle Williams, self-care, hun. Like, yep. Realize what's going on, acknowledge it, and now do something about it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And her sleeping on the park benches.
Whew.
Oh, yes. So that girl.
With her bags. Oh, girl.
I was wondering, with those bags, because I was like, now please tell me she was not spending her last money on going shopping.
Right.
Or was
right.
those... Were those her old clothes that just
like
happened to
be... Like her old furs?
Well, I feel like if Electra's on a park bench, that's pretty much what she has. So okay. It's just whatever she needs. Toothbrush, toothpaste, panties, you know, whatever okay. else she
right.
needs.
And I see it as something completely different. I see it as she went to the store and
right. It was so tired, she had to lay on the bench. Yes.
It's
yeah.
penthouse princess, okay?
Oh,
that's what we're dealing
and
with.
She was changing clothes every day.
Okay.
She wore like them homeless, like mm-hmm. that have like the same thing on multiple days.
She, yeah. she still had give you an eye, give you some makeup.
And,
yeah.
and let's be clear, I mean, to her credit, she's been in the game for years. She
yes.
got wardrobe.
Yeah.
It's not like she need to, you know, get something else. So we did get to see Electra. Blanca brought her into the house of Evangelista.
Mm-hmm. Which
come
I
on.
Knew was going to happen. I don't know how, but I was just like, I
that
feel
was your
like
prediction.
It's going to be Blanca who kind of helps her out of the situation, because who else would it be?
Like, what did you guys think about that moment initially? Were you here for like her bringing her in, or were you like,
she wouldn't have been welcome in my house.
Thank you.
Girl, you can sleep in a car.
Okay.
I give my car keys every
but
night.
But she's her mother at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. That's her mother. That's her mother. I get that. Because mm-hmm. in that moment, I wasn't thinking about that, so thank you for reminding me.
Okay.
But at the same time, I was like, how are you going to kick Poppy out, but then let...
Circumstances are a little different. Poppy was right. selling drugs, which I told you was a rule of mine.
Right.
Whereas Electra just is out back. And it also, just because the story does show everybody's character development was on par. I remember earlier, a few weeks ago, a lot of like rumblings on social media were like, oh, the acting this or rah, 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 or this or that. But everything came together like seamlessly. And a part of Blanca's true character it is a mother and her nature to go to Electra and to give her that. And then we even got to see her display. We always see it with Damon, but even when she was talking to Angel. You know,
oh
I know
God,
Angel
yeah.
is your girl.
That was a heartbreaking moment.
That moment when she told her that she was HIV positive. It was that moment of like, almost like, if I don't get a chance to tell you this, yes. you know, it was like almost a lot, like, don't tell nobody else. And passing it on to her to kind of like, get your stuff together, girl. Mm-hmm. And I need you to get it together, because I need you to be here for the rest of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she was preparing her hair. Like, she was preparing her for, like, yeah. taking this throne. Like, you're going to take this responsibility when I leave. But I want to let you know this secret.
Right.
So that you take it more serious now. Like, this is not just a little house for now. Mm-hmm. This is a house forever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I want you to carry it into forever for me.
Absolutely.
So that was, like, meaningful.
Do you think that it, because for me, I don't think that it was a plan. I don't think she ever planned, like, okay, I'm going to sit down. I think she knew in the moment that what Angel needed was
right.
that level of encouragement. Because had she not, who knows?
She would have took Stan back.
She probably would have
right.
went
probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
You see how she was on the fence in the beginning? Like, he was kind of, she was strong, but I think mm-hmm. she became, Blanca gave her more strength in that moment. Passed it on.
Did anybody think, though, in that moment that maybe Blanca was in the wrong for telling her at that time? Because in my head, I was thinking Angel is coming to her in a vulnerable situation, like, I'm going through this with my man or ex-man, whatever you want to call it. And then she's like, well, I'm positive, and I'm going to put the house in your hands. And I was like, I don't know if that was the right time. Even though she didn't plan it, you can never really tell. But what did you
think? I think she matched the energy. There are times when you talk to your friends, and it's a, I don't need you to talk back. I just need to talk, and you listen. And then we hang up. And there are times where you pick up like, okay, you're going through this, but guess what? I'm going through this, this. Mm-hmm. We're going to lift these chins up. And
it helps, too, to see for Angel to see the weight of the difference in the problems that they're, like, bringing to the table at that moment so that she can see even, like, how much I'm needed.
Right. For sure.
This family needs me more than this. So sometimes we have to wake people up, you know. So, yes, so somebody's got some news, but if, you know, and sometimes it is that other people need to hear my problem might not be just as bad, you know, if I'm hearing somebody's going through something worse.
I find it was a purposeful moment. Okay. I look at the conversation as, you know, this is what you got going on, but here's something that I need to give you so that you can uplift yourself. Like we said before, if she hadn't gave her that little piece of information, it's no telling where she would have ended up.
So. It was perspective, I think. Mm-hmm. Giving her perspective on her problems and saying, like, yeah, you're going through heartbreak, but kind of see the bigger picture here. And I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, there's more to life than heartbreak. And I love that you pointed that out. Like, you need to note that you are still valued and needed. If you don't, what she say, you know, white boy from the suburbs.
Right, you don't need him, girl.
I tell you I needed Blanca when I was 20, child, to tell me that.
She can tell me now, and I'm 31.
I'm 30, I need her. And I thought he was going to save me, child. Left my ass just hungry, honey.
I want to hear what Blanca got to say about the thugs. That's my issue and my problem.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Well, speaking of boys, we can go ahead and talk about the boys a little bit, because we did get to see Damon and Ricky, and they are bagels, relationship goals.
They're so cute. And when he first came, the beginning of the series, we were like, he looks a little sketch. Like, I'm not sure what Ricky's about. And now I'm just standing for them. They're like, they're so in love.
They are. He's such a sweetheart. They have all these cutesy moments that you're just like, oh my God.
Well, I think throughout the season, we fell in love with Ricky, and it was by accident, because it wasn't intentional, because I don't think none of us wanted them to work. And now seeing him being so uplifting, you know, to the entire house.
He went out
for that whole house.
He's got his role as well. Everybody has a piece that they're playing, and they do it well. I was just shocked. I was like, okay, Ricky's a dancer. Pretty Ricky came through with the 5, 6, 7, 8 and the crop top.
And that body forward. Did you see that body roll?
Body was on. Two body rolls.
I was here
one
for
two.
It.
Yeah, their whole relationship just blossomed, which I love. I think Ricky just needed some love. That's all he needed. Yeah.
And it's so amazing to see black gay love on TV.
Yes,
because it's so often, like, it's so often when we do see these portrayals, you see, you know, a black gay man with someone white, or, you know, not a person of color. But also, there's a conversation. A lot of people don't even understand that in the black community, you know, we get all this stuff from our parents and our family by being gay, about being trans, about being that. And then we go into the LGBT community, and folks think that we're having some better, you know, some better experience in there. And now in this, we're experiencing anti-blackness, or as well as, like, marginalization into fetish.
Yeah.
You know, so black men are being fetishized, as well as trans black women are being fetishized.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Come on with the word on this Sunday evening.
Okay. We're going to have fun and we're going to educate.
Okay. How you doing? It's communion. Yeah. Okay,
let me see. But that's so true. And so we did get to see another maybe relationship on the rise, an older gentleman. Keenan and Pray Tell get to go out on a date. What did y'all think about Pray Tell?
Snap two times for the daddies, honey. For the daddies.
I was so happy.
Skin. You know, he got that skin, though, so he pulled it with the skin.
Okay. I was so happy for Pray Tell. First of all, Blanca is putting everybody on, okay? Yes, whether it's from Elektra to Pray Tell to Damon.
It's my turn.
She got you. She'll be here next time,
after
next season.
There's Blanca's room for
gonna
us
put,
all.
She's going to put everybody on, okay?
She's a matchmaker.
But then again, we are House of Pose, so I don't know.
We'll see what happens with that. Okay. I don't know. But I was not expecting to see Pray Tell go on a date. Just like when Blanca had her love interest, you know, we didn't see that coming at all. Mm-hmm. So to see it and to him have this moment and be vulnerable, I know maybe a couple weeks ago we were talking about the conversation about whether when is it appropriate to disclose or should you not? And for Pray Tell to feel in his truth that I need to tell you now and to be kind of rewarded and not rejected by that experience.
Well, you know what's so incredible about that is that I dated someone that was HIV positive, and I did not know. I didn't know ahead of time or what have you. So when we came to the table, it was so interesting how our conversation about disclosure was just so profound in that moment, because he had the same feelings I've had about disclosing my transness and will this change the circumstance? Wow. Mm-hmm. Will they no longer be interested in me? You know, is this the end of the night? And so I, as he told me, you know, luckily at this time I had been educated, you know, 10 times over. So my response was just, it was just a regular response. So I'm glad that you told me or what have you, and we were safe. And, you know, finding out, too, that, like, a lot of HIV people, HIV positive people are, like, a lot more healthy than people who are not.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, he was so, so healthy. So I think taking away the stigma around disclosure and really understanding and supporting people to understand that sometimes we all have something to disclose.
Exactly.
And you got to kind of meet people and create a relationship with someone. Yeah. Like, connect first before expecting someone to tell you their whole life story.
Absolutely.
I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah.
You know, about the length of time as to which when you should tell your partner if you are positive. Mm-hmm. And I think for Pray Tell to tell him immediately, I commend him for that. You know,
right.
I think Pray Tell my uncle anyway. So I think my uncle, I commend him for that. You know what I'm saying?
Especially in the 80s. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like to
know
have
a lot
that
about
sort
it.
Of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But even for his date to say, like, we'll be safe.
Right.
We'll wrap it up.
I
was like,
it's fine.
Yeah.
Still kissing. First
smart.
Kiss. First
yeah.
date.
Right.
At first, I was like, okay, because you know, first dates, I mean, in 2018, we don't really do first dates like
okay.
that. We do it a little bit different.
Netflix.
Swipe left, swipe right. What is it?
Okay.
Netflix and
DM. Like, it's a lot.
FaceTime.
So to think about how you really experience a first date with somebody or blind date at that, and then I thought it was going to be uncomfortable at first, but it just smoothed on out.
I was on a date with him.
Right? It was nostalgic because it's not like that anymore. So it was like nostalgic for
and
me.
And at Electra's restaurant. To
right.
All
right.
Right.
I was like, is Electra looking at all this?
Right. And that's something, I mean, for those of you who have been watching us week after week, we've talked about that too, just wanting to see Electra have a moment with Pray Tell, because we were trying to decide, like,
they've
both
right.
been
they're
around
both
for so long. They have to have, like, interchanges. Have they hung out? And we got to see the exchange between both of them.
But guess right. what?
Did she let him use
I
the discount?
I got a feeling
though?
That Candy Ferocity going to get that bitch fired. Next Ooh. Season, season two, because let me tell you something.
That's your prediction, sis?
That's
right.
my prediction. We going to get it ain't over. Oh, Candy ain't yeah. learned her lessons.
Okay.
She ain't learned that when you play dirty, you don't win. No, she ain't learned it.
Just don't bring that hammer to the job. Don't bring that hammer to the job, sis.
Not from
Miss Candy herself, y'all.
I agree with that. I mean, we're about to jump into the House of Ferocity, and we'll talk about Candy in a moment, but she's the thing about Candy is she's not to be played with,
no.
let's
no.
be clear, and she's not going to back down.
Right.
And I can always respect somebody like that, because it don't matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. So we'll talk about that in a bit, but I think just kind of sticking on those topics, it's nice to appreciate and applaud like AfterBuzz for the type of platform that gives these voices to us. It's not every day that you see a panel that's all people of color, there's
right.
different sexualities, it's covering a show in this magnitude where you can speak freely, you can educate and entertain. So it's always good to have that. And then there's other programs
oh,
and things.
Oh, of course. Yeah, let me sip this tea real quick, though.
I'm going to sit with you, sis.
Okay, go ahead. Hey, AfterBuzzers. So first of all, thank you for watching. As you can see, Pose is one of our favorite shows. But we got you. We have so many shows you can check out that perhaps we can review and recap your favorite shows with you. So that means reality TV, sci-fis, drama, anything you can think of, okay? So what you should do, okay, is you should like this video, one, okay? Then two, you should subscribe. That way you can be notified of all the videos that we have. Don't worry about notifications, okay? All you have to do is just click a button. You know how to do that, right? You know how, we trust you. So just click the button if you don't want any notifications. And of course, just come back every time we have a video, okay? This helps us out. So help us help you, okay? And again, thank you for subscribing. Put some comments down, and of course, we'll give you shout outs, okay?
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Come through, Miss
Okay.
Day. Yes.
Anytime.
Now, right back into the House of Ferocity.
Because,
first of all, let's talk about, I guess, kind of our expectation. Because for me, I'm not going to be partial. I'm not going to be biased. Because
yeah, don't be biased because I'm here.
You're in the building.
I told her already.
But I was very much...
I was very much... the business. Come on.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Check her bag.
Security.
I, for one, was on the fence. I was like, all right. I mean, they just going to bring a messiness. Like, how are we going to play this out? You got Candy, who's known to be problematic and mouthy. With Miss Lulu, like, how is this going to work? So I was very much just like, okay, I don't know how much I'll be able to appreciate this story. Mm-hmm. So before we go further, what were you guys' kind of thoughts? And then you can tell us yours as well.
I didn't think it was going to be messy. Like, I knew they were going to bring it.
Okay.
Because they're two smart women. Yes, they're mouthy and they throw the shade, but I knew they weren't going to come, you know, looking a hot mess.
Right.
I'm like, I knew it would be neck and neck. I was not expecting some of those reads, though. Like, Miss Candy's reads are on another level.
She's not. That mouth is lethal.
Yes.
Well, you know, you should know that mouth is really Janet Mock, though.
Oh.
Right. Janet, let me tell you something. She's living vicariously through Candy because this girl has a master's degree in reading.
Yeah.
And shade. So that's Janet Mock, actually.
That's in between cuts, does she, like, give you a pep talk?
No, she's like, good girl, more.
This is good to know.
Because you know, Janet Mock, I said every week, y'all know that's my favorite.
That's your auntie, right?
That's a shady queen. A shady queen with a vocabulary is not to be played.
Okay.
With a vocabulary.
Okay.
That's good to know. You guys, what did you think of their house?
Well, okay. Last after show, I talked about y'all. I was really proud of you guys because you left the House of Abundance and you did your own thing.
Yeah.
So kudos to y'all. But I was not expecting all the reads. It was like a good 5 minutes. I was I was writing like, let me just, you know, write this down. So for all you guys that are like, I need comebacks,
you got it.
What more do you need? Like that was the gag of all gags. Mm-hmm. But I love
I'll just keep it short and sweet. I'm not a fan of the house. Period.
Get up.
Period.
No worries.
But I'm ready for you.
It's okay. You got to be fierce to be in this house, so it's okay.
What did you think? Did you guys know, I guess, at the beginning of the season, that what did you think when you found out that you were going to be...
Let me tell you something. We find out things like a week before.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, you get the script and you're like flipping through to see what's going on, you know? So we had no clue. You know, but we were ready for it. And I think that Ryan Murphy and the whole writer's room really wrote these episodes. They had like a framework for how the story arc was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But when Lulu and Candy kind of showed up, we sort of jumped off the page. And they sort of just saw us come to life and they had to do something with us, you know. And I feel like Ryan Murphy noticed early on, you know, just with this... I'm an improver, and I didn't really have a lot of lines in the beginning. So he just started telling me make up something and say something or whatever. So when he started seeing I was kind of quick, he was like, okay, we got to do something with that, you know. So I'm glad that they did something with it. I will say I was a little thrown off myself about how mean Candy started to get, you know. And I was a little shaky about playing that role because – fans are crazy, you know. Fans will come after you. You know, fans are interesting. So, but, and then I was also in the beginning, I was really rushing to sort of like think about humanizing her because I was just like, you know, well, I don't want people to be too mad at her. So let me, you know, again, think about again all the layers of there. I know there are reasons and layers of why she has a chip on her shoulder or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm tired of being a goody two-shoes.
Okay.
I'm ready to fall in to Candy Ferocity, like, fully.
Yes.
So I don't think we're going to redeem her anytime soon. Okay. Don't redeem her no time soon, Janet. Let me shady all season two, girl. I'm ready.
Yes. I'm here for it. I mean, it makes sense because
you need the energy.
You definitely need it. One of the great things about, like, season ones or pilots is that you do get to see and find characters that are just explosive.
Yeah.
And you, in all of your talent, you cannot
Thank
be
you.
Denied.
Thank
Let's be clear right. about it. And I think that it is important to note that the bloodline bleeds through. I walk away watching him like, oh my God, that was very nasty. But you still, even in the later scenes at the ball, were you ready to fight? Or I'm not going to be denied a category just because there's always a reason. There's something that you're fighting for.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So you do get to see the humanity of the character and not just Hayden for no reason.
Absolutely.
And that's what I love about her. She does not take no for an answer.
Oh my
God. Some people would just be like, oh, they're rejecting me. Like, I'm never going to do this again. I'm not going to try. And she like, Katie's like, no. Yes. Yeah. You're not going to tell me what I can and can't do. Mm-hmm. You're not going to tell me what category I can and cannot mm-hmm. walk. So I'm just very curious to see in season two, like, for them to explain where does this fight come from.
I was going
to
say, her breakdown, I cannot mm-hmm. wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I did have a question in regards to, you know, in season one, when you were getting the injections. Did you have, like, were there any emotions tied to that experience?
You kidding me? Were there any emotions? I can honestly say that I had a hard time. Mm-hmm. I had an actual hard time dealing. And it was like, it was hard. It was really, really hard, especially when I got to the makeup trailer. And I had to stand up for 2 hours. And they, you know, put the prosthetic hip in the silicone. It's like some kind of, you know, silicone thing. And they're airbrushing it. So as they get to airbrushing it, I don't see any lines of where the pad, where the thing stops. And so all of a sudden I'm looking in the mirror, Angelica Ross, at a body I've always wanted.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know what I mean? And that I don't have, and that I also feel less than, or, you know, less than a woman because I don't have the curves, or, mm-hmm. you know, and so much so that when I was shooting season one of Claws,
yes.
after I finished shooting that, I went down to Florida to kind of like, okay, let me just have a break mm-hmm. and relax and go on the beach. And what I recognize is, like, Florida's different from California. My body is cute in California. Mm-hmm. My body in Miami on South Beach,
okay.
everybody's running around trying to feed me. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not voluptuous. And so what was interesting was that was what got me clocked really quickly. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I'm walking down A1A, and this is, again, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, because I walk past one guy. He's like, damn, baby. Like, yo, yo, yo. And then I walk past the next dude. He's like, that's a dude. And I walk past God. The next guy. No. And they're like, yo, baby. But and then the next guy's like, oh, that's a man. And so just within feet of each other. And this is how close and how unsafe I am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's like I felt terrible, and I felt traumatized because my body, you know, my body clocks me and gives me away. And just like Candy, like, I feel like Janet Mock. I feel like any other woman, you know, and Janet Mock has gone through the stages, and she talks mm-hmm. about in her book early on mm-hmm. and has she passes.
Right.
Right.
And just like Candy talks about, not you, you pass, you right. know, more than any bitch in that place.
Right.
You know, so it's very, very hard, but a show like Pose, breaking it all down for everyone, mm-hmm. allows for us all to at least be mindful when we're bumping up against each other's sort of edges. You know what I mean? Like, knowing that we're all struggling. All women are struggling. K. Michelle, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj. How many women that are not trans have talked about pumping?
Right. Right.
Yes.
That's very true.
Did you want to wear that booty home now?
I wanted to. Wait. Not only did I want to wear the booty home, I stole it.
Is it your bag?
No, it is not. Not right now. But I was getting ready for the red carpet. And I was just like telling my stylist, I was like, I think we're going to need to go steal that booty, the candy booty, because there might be some outfits that I want to, you know, fit more, whatever. And what's so funny is the moment I thought that, and I did take the pads home, the moment I thought that, the very next thing that I ended up wearing, which at the GLAAD Awards, was this satin pantsuit from August Getty, and it was it had like a really midriff top and showed, you know, my abs. And I just remember making this choice of saying, you know what? If Candy can be that fierce and walk out there and love her body and just show it regardless, then I'm going to do the same thing.
Okay.
You know, and so that's Candy's right. like inspiring me. It's crazy.
That's the
love that.
Because Candy got body, but she can't Vogue.
No, I was wondering what this was.
Okay.
She was doing a lot, you know.
She was. And, you know, this episode really gave us, it leaned in further into the culture. I think we have a picture up from you at the GLAAD Awards.
Yes. Yes.
See, you see
beautiful.
It?
The
see them abs?
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you, Janet abs. Jackson, for making it acceptable again.
Right?
Thank you very much.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Girl, but I think this episode diet? Really.
Right. What are the workouts?
Flat tummy
tea. Chocolate men.
Yes. Ooh, that's okay.
That's not my flavor of the week.
That's not particularly my flavor, but I'm with it.
Oh, it's okay.
We're going to have to get you on.
Get your mic.
Level up. Level up.
Get the good man dingo, honey.
Okay. But this episode was full of fun. It really leaned into the culture in that we saw a lot of reading. We saw a lot of shade. We've seen the categories before. We saw the balls. But this episode, we really got to see the Vogue, and we got to see them pay homage to generations who have done it before. And the question I wanted to ask you was just, you are trained, you've acted, you know, you have acclaim, but working on a show like Pose, what are some of the big moments or kind of the highlights of this experience?
One of the biggest highlights of the experience is working with the rest of my community.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it just was a profound experience because, like you said, so many girls got to get some recognition, yes, and spotlight, who have been here for years, mm-hmm, who have been doing these things, but they're not actors, maybe. You know, mm-hmm, what I'm saying? Like, and we do have to make it clear that this is not the Real Housewives of the ballroom scene.
Right.
This is an acting show, so we do need actors for that. But also, to become an actor, you know, when I was cutting my teeth and, you know, doing commercials and Jean commercials and being background in Jennifer Lopez show, South Beach, and I was doing,
yes,
all kind of, you know, I was doing all kind of stuff. And in SAG, it's really hard to get your SAG union card,
right,
because you have to add up all these hours of work.
Yes.
And if you don't have that, then you have to have someone pick you out of an audience, basically say, I want you, and we're going to pay for, you know, these whole things. So it's hard to accumulate work, one, just as an actor, period.
Mm-hmm.
But as a trans actor, how many times can we be the dead prostitute on SUV,
right,
or whatever the situation is, and there's only so many.
Wow.
So it's one of those things that a show like Pose that is shooting as many episodes and days with 300 people in a ballroom scene.
Mm.
These people are spending 16-hour filming days with us. You know, they're able to and see what it's like, because some, I'll be honest, some people that started out didn't come back because they realized the work. Because a lot of times when you're sitting at home,
right,
watching TV, you don't know the work that goes into it. So some people was like, you know what? Love y'all. Respect y'all. Peace out. I can't do this, you know. And other people were kind of watching and paying attention. And some folks I could see were trying to take advantage of their moment but might not have known, again, because they haven't had the experience. So I made sure, and a lot of the girls will tell you, I made sure I was helping girls and picking out their moments and saying, hey, I would see them try to say a line. I was like, okay, listen, that's going to get cut because of the way you're doing it right now.
Mm.
But if you do it this way where it doesn't overcut the main character's line, because,
right,
they're just not going to cut Billy Pray Tell's line,
right,
you understand,
right,
to,
right,
get something from the audience. So just know how to do this, and we,
right,
can help you, you know. Or then I'm talking to certain girls and telling them, give in between cuts. So doing those things, as well as, like, when I got pumped with Miss Orlando, Cecilia Gentile, I think is her name, who played that role. She's a longtime advocate in the community. And just in between takes, we were talking about how real that scene was, and also about some of the bad choices that we used to make, you know, and how that was for us. So it was just so profound in between, and that's when I really knew that we were doing something that was going to touch, you know, a lot of people.
For sure.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And looking at your experience, what advice do you think you would give to trans women, specifically women of color, who are trying to get into the industry and trying to be where you are? What would you tell them?
I would basically say you have got to be willing. You have to be willing to put in the work. And what I mean by that is this. So if someone doesn't allow you into this building or into this job, there are still other ways to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm Gladwell, who's the author of a book called Outliers,
right,
which talks about the 10,000 hours and genius or whatever. The reason why, to be real and honest, the reason why I do a lot of things that I do very well is because I've spent an obscene amount of time on my craft and on a lot of things that I've done. And I've been able to steal that time away, whether that was I was with the white boyfriend that I was with for 8 years and he was paying the bills or whatever, so I could spend more time doing whatever. You know, I'm admitting to the privileges or whatever that I've,
yeah,
had access to. But in either way, whether it's a bar mitzvah, whether it's – you're not going to start at Carnegie Hall.
Mm.
So
right,
you got to be willing to go to the student films.
Right.
They have access to professional equipment and are casting all the time. Or, you know, you can even pitch them in an idea because they have theses to do and all kind of things. So you have to be willing to either do that or create your own lane.
Mm-hmm.
But do not don't sit here and think. And there's even girls, too, who I think are – I know there are certain girls in the game who are where they are for other reasons than talent.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, and when I say this, is that you cannot think that you're going to stay in the same room with people who are working their butts off to stay there, and you're just on there on some, on a face, mm-hmm. or on a body, or on whatever. So, you know, I recommend people to put in the work that is required, like to become a doctor, to become Serena, a tennis player, to become a cook, right. a chef, or whatever that work is. You can't skip it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do that. And if you're willing to stick with it, that'll let you know if it's really worth it to you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Put in the work.
That's right.
Yes. Well, we do have a bunch of questions and we'll continue to ask. But before we get into more questions, I know Jamie got some fun ones. Let's jump into, we do our special segment, Walk It Like You Talk It.
Yeah. Hey.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk,
hey.
Walk it like I talk it.
Hey.
Walk it like
so
I talk it.
Basically, walk each week like we watch the show and we either choose from the categories what we identify most with, or like a quotable moment, which would be our talk. And I know you probably heard us in the trailer, like writing our quotes down. But we kind of go through and each decide, like, from the episode a moment. So we'll go through, and then if you want to jump in from the episode, sure. or from the season, really, you can let us know kind of your favorite. Does anybody want to start in particular?
I will start.
Okay.
So I have a talk it this week, and it comes from the lovely dance teacher when she was speaking about Helena. Damon. And she said, "You have given Damon something that will allow him to soar in this world, self-worth." And I was like, yes, I hear that.
About it.
Self-worth and self-love is key, and it's something that we all struggle with, I think.
Yeah.
And so just to hear her say that, I just love to hear that message of, like, loving yourself and valuing yourself no matter what. So I was here for it.
Good reminders. Yep.
What about you, Jamie?
Oh, is it my turn? Okay. Well, mine is literally the next line after Helena, the dance teacher, said it. She says, "As long as he knows his life has value, he will be unstoppable." And so some people could read too deep into that and be like, well, I mean, wouldn't his life be unstoppable anyway? I just think it means to just keep going. Know your value, because people, you know, just like Angelica said, they're going to try you. And, you know, I love the story that you told us about when you were in Miami, because what if you had let that get you down? Because you have one guy who's saying, yes, good looking, and the other guy who's saying the opposite. You have to keep going. So I like that.
Perfect. Yes.
Well, mine is from my boo Blanca.
Okay.
She said that one job ain't nothing if it don't lead to another.
Yeah.
I think that resonates with each and every one of us, because we are multi-skilled people.
Hustling.
And we hustling out here. And we all know that one opportunity prayerfully leads to the next, that leads to the next. So I think that resonated with all of us on this cast.
Okay. Absolutely. Perfect. And I'm going to go with Miss Candy herself. You can't shade something that shines so bright.
Hello!
Okay. I love that. Y'all can't tell me nothing.
Right, right.
That was the best thing she said all show.
Is that right? Oh, she reading. Don't let me pull my glasses out my purse.
She's got the hammer in the purse, okay?
Now, for me, throughout the whole season, I have to say the walk it like I talk it moment for me is when Candy in episode 4, she before she goes walking out the ball in that green jumpsuit, she says, she doesn't get to dictate my reality. I do.
Exactly. Yes.
That's how I live, honey. Yes. That is how I live.
Yes. Perfect. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll jump into news and gossip in a second. Go ahead and throw a question, Jamie.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I was doing my research, Ms. Ross. Okay. And so, true or false, are you a founder, Ms. Ross?
That is true.
Okay, yes. And so TransTech Social Enterprises. Can you tell us about that?
Yep. TransTech is basic. It's a company I founded in 2014, and really a project I founded that is sponsored by Allied Media Projects out of Detroit. And it's really an online and offline community where everyone is welcome, but where we support each other. And I really emphasize that no one is coming here to save you. We are going to save ourselves. We're going to become our own heroes. We're going to teach each other. We're going to mentor each other. We're going to push each other. And we're going to be honest with each other. So it's a program over the past 4 years that I really struggled to build, because it's so different. Because it's not like your nonprofits who are giving out stipends and bus passes that people easily can see the value in. But to have sit someone down in front of a computer and to teach them the value in investing their time in themselves is a different thing, and it takes a little bit longer. So it's something that we've been doing for a while, and this October 20th, we have our Groupon, we have our TransTech Summit, and it's our second year.
Nice.
And it's basically a summit of workshops that are taught by trans people. And for trans people and gender nonconforming people with web and media design, apps, media communications, awesome. Business skills, right. all of it. Yeah,
that is awesome. And so you were definitely a pioneer then for the community.
You know, well, let me tell you what's so funny, and this hat is going to be done. But what's so funny about that is I actually just had a conversation either, I think right this morning, with my drag mother, who I hadn't really spoken to that much because she was my Electra.
Oh, my God.
Was this in D.C.?
No, I grew up in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And so when I first came out and was able to, like, get my life, I went over to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I met Tracy Ross. And that's where I got my last name from, you know.
Okay.
And we just had a very interesting conversation this morning because I was like, you know, you were my Electra, right? And yeah. she goes, you know what? Yes. And she goes, you know, and I'm sorry, and I apologize for some of the things that I know I was just outright wrong for. Also when Blanca, when she calls Blanca like the transvestite Norma Rae, you know, in one of the earlier episodes, that's what she sort of, the attitude she had towards me, because I was going into wanting to help the girls. But what she knew was, these girls is going to give you serious fever. They're not going to be trying to listen to you about doing this and that. And so she was really just looking out for me and trying. And again, as the girls are passing down the wisdom and whatever, what we're really passing down, we're trying to, is a roadmap for survival.
Mm-hmm.
Not thriving, survival. This is how you get through. Don't worry about doing all that because they're going to bring you down. And the truth of the matter is, doing trans tech, the first year I did not take a salary. I couldn't because the money just wasn't there.
Yeah.
My credit took a hit. My bills weren't paid. But the first year I put over $100,000 into my community's pocket.
Wow.
But I'm someone who has felt so wealthy my whole life that I listen. And when I hear Oprah say, not only to whom much is given, much is expected.
Okay.
But
Bible.
Really, yes, you know, and so what I really, really feel is that I knew one day the wealth I feel on the inside is going to come out on the outside. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, baby, I'm calling it forth.
Yes.
Come on.
Everything
took coalition.
And just to let everybody know, so it's transtechsocial.org, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So check it out.
Check it out.
I'll put it in the live chat.
Donate if you got some coins. Okay. But I can't keep paying for this myself.
Yeah. Yes. The link will be going in the live chat.
Yes, and I think that's just a beautiful thing and such an important way to put it, because there's a difference between surviving and thriving. And so we'll have you join in. We can go ahead and jump into news and gossip. I know we've still got a little bit more time. So each week we find news pieces newsworthy and we kind of go through and talk about them. And we want to know your opinion. You blessed us with it this evening. So if we could jump into news and gossip, please.
Let's do it.
I think I want Candy opinion.
I don't know. I do. I want
Candy's opinion. Okay, yeah.
We'll wait for it.
Okay, no worries. So, go ahead and get us started.
So one of the big stories from this week was that a CVS pharmacist was actually fired after refusing to give a trans woman her hormone therapy. This happened in Arizona in a suburb outside of Phoenix. And the woman said at the time that she was very traumatized by the experience. He was questioning, why do you need this? What do you need it for? Kind of putting her in the predicament, yelling at her in the CVS. And CVS responded. They fired the man. So what are we thinking about this experience?
I'm glad for it. I mean, I think it's terrible that she had to go through that. But we live in such an important and there's a shift happening.
Yes.
Even like now with Pose, it's really paved the way so that people can be taken for what I mean. Not only that, you look at all these people in Hollywood who are being fired, the Disney movie, and then the head of Paramount Pictures. So it's important that accountability is finally in place in society,
especially a pharmacist, somebody with an extensive amount of education.
Well, and this really shows you how far behind the medical field has been when it comes to trans care. I have to tell you myself, I've gone out of town to go pick up my medicine from Walgreens, my hormone therapy or whatever. And the lady's ringing me up and she's like, oh, you're pretty young. What you need? You got thyroid problems? What you need?
Oh,
this?
Wow.
What do you need? Or do you? And starts questioning me as I'm picking up the medicine. How about my name is on the package?
Hello.
How about you just pass that over the counter?
Hello.
You see my ID now. Come on.
Right.
That's crazy. Have you had for your experience solely, how has it been, I guess, navigating? Because we all are on the outside looking, and we've talked over the course of the season about Janet Mock and what she's done as far as information and education with her experience and her books. And then, of course, Pose, we see it face to face. But there are subtle moments where we get to see, like, the reality of the situation. Like, with Electra, we get to, like, hone in and be like, whoa, like, this is experience that these people are facing. How have you been able to overcome that?
You know, I really have been able to overcome it by really understanding that these laws are not made for me. That these, because if they were, my existence is being, you know, is has policies against it. Mm-hmm. So I'm illegal just existing in a lot of places. I go from state to state and I'm illegal. But I'm under the belief that no person is illegal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that just don't apply to me. So a lot of stuff in this world, I hate to, Jay-Z, Amber Rose, you know, all these hustlers, you understand what I'm saying, mm-hmm. that come up to understand this wasn't built for me.
Right.
Not only was it not built for me, but the people who built it are not even playing by those rules. Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, prostitution is illegal, but we're not even going to go there.
Hello!
Because y'all done put a few of them through college. You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
So once I realized that the game was fixed and that whatever, then it's just the black, and you know, to this day, me being who I am, I have to get stuff on the black market, me being who I am, mm-hmm. because Access, which is the name of the second episode, which I love all the names of the episodes, kind of mm-hmm. zone in on like certain theme, and Access, it's hard for me to get access. In order for me to do the steps of wanting to have gender reassignment surgery, doing these things or whatever, I have to go to therapy, and I have to, you know, do these things, and then sit across from some dude. I've been trans longer than he's had a job, than he's even known right. or studied this thing. So why am I sitting here and you trying to qualify whether I should be doing this or not?
Right.
But not only that, then there's microaggressions because they don't know any better mm-hmm. and they're just saying certain things. So it sucks to be able to have to go through those loopholes, and that's why so many girls found another way around it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think this country just needs to get – we need to get – better, quicker, you know. Other, it's yes. really weird because my friend Gina Rosero, who she's a trans woman, she came out through her TED talk. She even modeled in one of Weeknd's early videos, and he never knew, you know, that she yes. was trans.
Wow.
You know? And but she talked about how in the Philippines, where she's at, there's such a big trans culture. Mm-hmm. The surgeries, you know, they've been doing them forever, and they, you know, what have you, but they do not have the protection. They don't have the sort of legal protections, being able to get their name changed and doing that, what have you. Mm-hmm. We had the legal protections, but not the social environment, not right. the social acceptance. But now even a lot of that is eroding from underneath our feet. We don't mm-hmm. have the protections we used to with Trump in office right now.
Right.
So we
right.
can't be sleeping, and we do need other black folks who are cis, who are straight, who are cis heteronormative, to know that my trans life, my gay life, my bi life does not invalidate or do anything to yours, mm-hmm. and you can learn how to support blackness wherever you see it.
Mm-hmm. All I'm gonna say is just right there. Keep that cell phone up and just record, get people canceled, whatever you need to do.
Yes.
You will be canceled. Okay?
Yes,
so
yes.
Will be.
Just
I'm
record.
Here for the cancel movement.
Yes.
Right. So we're getting into some good news of this week. Supergirl is going to feature TV's first trans superhero. Let's get a round of applause
yes.
for that.
Yeah.
Nicole Maines, I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, she's actually a superhero in real life, too.
Really?
I'm not surprised. She's going to be playing Nia in the fourth season, so that's amazing. It's really awesome. Showing that the doors are opening in some places.
Right.
Right.
And I really hope that we can see more of that on TV. And I think
her and her family went through court in Maine to help her kids. She fought to help, I think, kids in her school be able to use the right bathroom, and like to the law in Maine or what have you. So, you know, a lot of people don't know, a lot of trans girls, period, we are superheroes.
Right, yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Y'all just need to cast us.
Okay.
That's
y'all
nice.
Just need to cast us.
This is absolutely yeah. amazing. I'm thinking about our children. You know, being able to grow up and see this at a young age. And I don't want to say take some of the conversation away from us, but them to actually have a conversation with our children and then have something to back it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially something like this. I love it.
And not only that, but to see something that doesn't require, because Pose definitely is groundbreaking, but to see something that doesn't have a TV MA, you know what I mean? That doesn't have the barrier that a child can just recognize a superhero and appreciate them for that. Just like my niece is 3 and she wants to be Black Panther for Halloween. So imagine when this comes out and they would want to be this superhero, not based on gender, sex,
right, color, anything.
Well, I just curated a program of shorts at Outfest, actually just yesterday, last night. And there was a lot of wonderful trans. Again, this is when we open things up and have trans people creating trans content, you get some really awesome stuff. But there was one doc, there was one show that's going to end up being, I think ABC might have commissioned it to be a full series. But it's about this girl who's her first day of school, and she left her last school, and this was the first time she was going to now be able to be seen as Hannah and be able to go wear the school uniform. But it's seen. Like just a main character, she's the main character, so it's from her perspective. So it's going to be a children's show.
That's awesome.
Starring a trans child.
That is awesome.
Wow. So it'll be more accessible and relatable to everyone.
Exactly. Well, if you need some teachers on the cast,
I'll let her know. Yes, that's not my project. I got another project that I'm executive producing.
Well, you the plug anyway.
Yes. I'm the plug. I got a web series I'm executive producing. I'll be announcing in a couple days, but you're going to recognize some of your faves on the show. I got some stuff.
Well, early congratulations.
I'm super excited to watch. I mean, we are running out of time, so I'm glad you told us that. Is there anything else we can check for? You got to tell us where to follow you. You know, we're going to follow that news.
Just follow me at MissRoss.com, at Angelica Ross on everything else. But I just say, hit that notification. Hit that notification button because I don't want you to miss nothing.
All right.
It goes too fast. Don't miss it.
Subscribe to her life, honey.
I'm a subscribe. Well, we want to thank you first and foremost. I mean, we really appreciate you taking the time. We wanted to have a guest all season, and you have done that. And you have been insatiable in all of your work. Really, I
thank
do admire
you so much.
You're the first
so
one, okay? You're making history right here.
Miss Candy.
I'll send the rest of the girls on over.
Right. Next season.
I was tweeting Stephen Canal today. He was like, oh, he couldn't, he don't know why it didn't happen, but we'll remedy it season 2. So, we'll let that happen. But we appreciate all the fans. Thanks everybody for watching Pose. It has been such a journey. It's been incredible. You guys have been with us in the comments, all of that. You can still keep up with us. We are on AfterBuzz pretty much daily. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Keith_Andre. I'll be back Wednesday for 90 Day Fiancé.
Mm-hmm. Hey y'all, you can follow me at Mario_Turner, and I'm also here on Wednesdays doing Harlots, so check that out.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Jamie Gray. Thank you so much for watching. It has been a huge pleasure. You can also find me on Twitter at It's Jamie Gray or Instagram Jamie Gray, and tomorrow on Claws After Show.
Oh.
All right. And it's your boy Jay Lamar. You can find me on all social media platforms at I Am Jay Lamar. You can catch me Monday nights for The Real Housewives of Potomac as well as for Basketball Wives. And I don't care what Candy says, I'm bad. What's up?
Thanks for watching, and thank you again. See you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.